Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to say, it is very nice to be back here and kind of getting back into the swing of things after the last 6 weeks of excitement. First with our stewardship series all through September, and then 2 weeks ago we had our LWML Sunday, and then last week we had our Mission Festival led by Reverend King Crawford. So it is nice to be back to something of our normal schedule. And what better text to return on than 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4, where Paul says, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And then moving on, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." It is getting harder and harder to be a Christian in America today. Now, it's always been hard to be a Christian around the world. After all, Jesus told his disciples that, "I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you," in John 15. But it feels like today it is getting harder and harder to be a Christian for us. Recent court decisions have made it difficult to live out an active Christian life in the public sphere. Conditions in the business and scientific worlds make it difficult to hold and apply Christian beliefs while still being successful. Society is becoming increasingly hostile toward the Christian church and everything it stands for. It is hard to be a Christian in our world today. But then, I suppose we shouldn't be surprised about that. After all, our world is opposed to God's word. We look all around the world, and that is the case, that the scientific community scoffs at anything in Scripture. Creation is written in Scripture, so that can't be the case. Now, aliens seeding worlds with and creating life, that's okay. But God, definitely not. It is virtually impossible to be a Christian in the sciences, whether it's at a university, whether it's as a writer, whether it is in a lab. And it is impossible to maintain credibility with the non-Christian scientists if you actually take God's word for what it is. We look at society, and morality has taken a sharp left turn away from God's way of doing things. We look around, and that is the case, that society is turning away from God and from what God's law would say, which is written on man's heart. And in fact, we see that even those who claim Christ go after preachers who do not tell them God's word, but instead say what their itching ears want to hear. As Paul warned in verse 3, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." And then verse 4, "And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Remember, when Paul warns about the itching ears, he isn't just talking about non-believers who wander off after whatever will suit their passions. No, he is also warning us Christians. It is just as possible, even believers can wander off following after false teachers. those can, and there are many of those in our society today. Churches teaching that the Bible isn't God's word, but merely contains God's word. Some of the Bible is God's word, but other parts are not. But churches which teach that God's law has no application to Christians today, churches that teach that Christ didn't actually need to die for us, how can you even say that and maintain Christ? There are those who continue to teach that it is okay to continue in sin contrary to Paul's words in Romans chapter 6, where he says, "What shall we say then? Are we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it?" There are false teachers that even try to draw away Christians. So how can we continue in what we have learned and firmly believed when we are surrounded by all of these forces which are trying to push us away from God? Well, that's when we turn back to our text, where Paul urges Timothy to continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. And he says the same thing to us: continue in what we have learned and firmly believed. And Paul gives us exactly what that means to continue in what we believe. This is what you have been taught since childhood. Timothy, Paul's young friend Timothy, was raised in the faith by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, and as he says in 2 Timothy, and he received the faith as a child. And then it was further taught to him by Paul later, but he learned it from childhood. And the same thing applies for many of you. You have been taught since childhood what this means. Now, not all believers came to faith as children, but all are to receive it as children. Jesus says in Matthew 18, "Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean to receive this as a child? It simply means to have an implicit trust in what you have been taught. Whenever you look at a young child, they know their mother and father. They know that their mother and father love them. They know implicitly that their parents will provide for them. They will feed them. They will give them clothing. They will give them love. That is what it means to continue in the faith you have been taught since childhood, to have that implicit trust in what you have been taught. So Paul says, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God, and is profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed. Paul is here turning Timothy back to scripture as a reminder that scripture is where all of this comes from. Now, at the time, this would primarily refer to the Old Testament. After all, it wasn't for another 50 to 150 years or so that the New Testament was finally collected together into one book. But ultimately, this encompasses all of Scripture. It's all breathed out by God and is useful for us. The Old Testament is just as important for us believers, for us Christians, as the New. The Old Testament is what provides us with the foundation on which the New Testament is built. We would not know why we need Christ. We would not know who Christ is and who God is if that weren't already laid out in the Old Testament. And so all of Scripture is breathed out by God. All of Scripture is profitable for us, for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. It's all God's word, and it all applies to our lives. Outdated or outmoded? Not the word of the living, eternal, unchangeable God. Inapplicable to non-Israelites? Not the word of the God who created and calls all people. Interested only in teaching facts? Not the word of God which trains in righteousness. And so Paul tells Timothy and us as well, cling to God's word. It is the only thing that matters. That is where we find out what God expects of us. That is where we find out what God has done for us. And that is where we find out about God from what he reveals about himself. And so after pointing us back to Scripture, which is the heart of the Christian faith, which holds us in the Christian faith, Paul instructs Timothy in the ways in which we are to live out that faith in chapter 4, verse 3. Always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So we'll take that one step at a time. First, be sober-minded. In the dictionary, the definition for sober-minded is either rational or sensible. And so it literally means to be sober or to abstain from alcohol. And so to be sober-minded means to keep in control of yourself and of your actions. So in other words, this means do not allow your actions to bring shame to your faith and to your Lord. Next, Paul tells us to endure suffering, because the Christian life isn't always easy. In fact, 2 Timothy is one of the last letters that Paul writes before being beheaded on a road just outside Rome. Christians face persecution all over our world today. This week, we are praying for some Syrian refugees who are living in Lebanon and are learning about the Bible. We are also praying for church leaders in Laos who were arrested for holding worship services. And we also are praying for an Indian pastor who was beaten and left in a coma for his proclamation of the gospel. Christians around the world suffer in literal ways because of their faith. And so we also must be prepared to endure suffering for what we believe in, whatever form that suffering may take, whether it be that literal persecution or whether it be that, quote, soft persecution of the society slowly but surely turning on and mocking and ridiculing. We must be prepared to endure suffering for Christ's name. Then finally, he says to do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. And so we will combine these two because they're essentially telling us the same thing. An evangelist is one who has good news to share. And so we call Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John evangelists because they wrote the evangels or gospels. They wrote down the good news about Christ. But we also are all evangelists because we have that same good news of Jesus Christ to share with those around us who need to hear that good news. And so this is the ministry which God has given to all of us, and not just to pastors like Timothy. And so when you face difficulty because of your faith, endure. When you are ridiculed for your belief in God, continue in the faith. When the devil tries to seduce you away from God, resist him in the faith. We do not face these things alone. No, we are surrounded by fellow believers who strengthen and encourage us. We are strengthened and nourished by God through his word and through his means of grace. We are protected by God's holy angels who hold all the hosts of hell at bay. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.